Hello, everyone, and welcome in to episode. Great question. I don't know what episode this is, but
I didn't even list it. I lost track.
That's what B said. The schedule edition, kind of. I'm your host, Bree at Breezy Clee, and I'm joined by the gang is here, Miss Brittany Mollis at Bird's Eye View. Hello, Brittany.
Hi, guys. Just sitting here watching the Cleveland Indians. No big deal.
Woo, look at you. Uh-huh. At least I got some hits tonight.
Emmanuel Clase. Woo.
She's clapping. Miss like, Meredith like, Kane is I wish also people
could
here.
See, I wish people could see her face. She did that on purpose.
She did.
I know you did that on purpose.
Hello, Meredith.
Hi.
Are you watching the Indians?
I'm not. I had the news on, but I had to turn it off because it was making me sad.
Okay. Well, here we are, ladies. It's good to see your faces.
That's nice to see you, too. Oh, you guys have glasses on tonight, and I don't. I'm always a loser left out.
Oh, I just can't. Take the context all day long and all night long. So here we are.
I feel you.
Time for bed almost. Well, we've got a great show lined up tonight. We're going to get into some Browns things. We know that the schedule release is going to be happening on the day we release this episode. However, we will get into all of that next week, but we will talk about, we know the matchup. So we're going to talk about what is our ideal schedule. We had a wonderful Building the Browns episode that released on Sunday that made our hearts smile. So we're going to talk about that. And then I've got some rants that I want to hear about from Miss Brittany Mollis and Miss Meredith Kane, a couple of heated things to get into that I'm just going to let them have at it and sit here quietly.
Brie, aren't you mad about anything?
I feel like I'm always mad about things. But right now I cannot disclose what I'm mad about because it would probably get me in trouble at work. So I will just quietly let you guys rant.
That'll be the name of our next podcast. In addition to this one, it'll be called Mad About Something, and it'll literally just be us ranting.
Yes. Yes. Give me some time. I'm tired because I had double baseball games tonight at the same time. So
little dude, those days.
Yeah. Little dude started T-ball, had his first game yesterday, and then he had a back-to-back today. And then Miss Layla had a baseball game tonight, and I just have to share a proud mom moment. You know, Layla, I accidentally signed her up for baseball with the boys. She wanted to keep playing. She got the game ball tonight because she went 2 for 2 at the plate.
Yes, that's our girl.
And I was just so proud, and she was so excited to get the game ball, and I just had a moment. And then little dude, he actually hit it. He batted 3 times and he hit it from the pitcher all 3 times. So he didn't even have to use the tee.
Look at that.
And he played pitcher tonight. So, you know, in T-ball, there's not a lot of action that happens. Like typically the ball goes only to the pitcher. Mm-hmm. So he was pretty much like, I don't know, the MVP tonight, I guess, because he was getting every grounder. And the thing about him though, is he dives for the ball. He like tackles other kids for the ball and he dives for the ball. And then every time the other, if you think like, I don't know, college and major league baseball players are obnoxious, you've not seen little dude play because he was standing at the pitcher's mound. And every time it's obviously coach pitch. Every time the coach was pitching to the other team and the batter was like swinging and missing, little dude was like behind him and he kept saying like, he can't hit it. He keeps missing. He can't hit it. Literally talking smack. I was like, shh.
Like, it's oh not my gosh.
Necessary. So my kid will be the kid that bat flips guaranteed in like a year.
I was about to say, you can send that tape to the Indians because obviously they need bats. So if Layla and little dude can already hit.
Not going to lie. I have seen more action and hits in T-ball and baseball than I have from the Indians in some games. So
yeah, the good news with the Indians is that they can score 3 runs and like sometimes it's enough because they have really great pitching. That's what's happening tonight, it looks like. Although, you know, I don't know, this Clase guy just let a guy on base in the 9th, so we'll see how that plays out. Oh no, it wasn't his fault, never mind. Is that an error or was it not?
We got live play-by-play from Brittany Mollis.
Yeah, this never happens, guys, but sometimes I am forced to watch this team against my will, so that's what's happening tonight. I will just give you all the play-by-play.
Isn't it Clase?
Yes.
But, you call him place on purpose.
Danny gets mad when I butcher people's names, so I like to say them wrong.
That's why I said at the beginning of the episode, she's doing that on purpose.
You're like my parents with like restaurant chains. It's like Chipotle.
Why does every boomer parent say, because my mother says that. Why does every boomer parent say Chipotle?
Are you guys ready for this story?
Yes.
It's a real quick one, I promise. Then we'll get into sports. When I was living at home, me and my mom and dad used to go to Panera all the time. Oh, number one, my dad calls it Pantera bread. So then we go inside, and the thing that he wanted was an Asiago cheese bagel with cream cheese.
Oh, no.
He walks up to the counter. I was like, Dad, I'll order. He's like, no, it's fine. I got it. He walks up to the counter. And he's like, can I get a Asiago bagel with sour cream? I said, like, he needs a translator because everything he says is wrong. The ones that we were at Starbucks, West Virginia, we were on the turnpike, and we go up there. And again, he's like super confident when he goes up to the counter with these things. I was like, Dad, I'll order it. No, I got this. He walks up to the Starbucks counter and he asks for a tall venti.
I mean, in his defense, the ventis are very tall.
True. Did he think venti was the type of coffee?
Yeah, he thought that was a coffee. So I'll have a tall venti. And I like collapsed over, like, because I was laughing so hard at him. Because like, I was right there. You could have just asked me. He's like, no, I got this. Don't worry. And then he did that. And I was like, oh my God, I was out of breath.
I feel like we probably have so many listeners too that have had experiences like this. It does seem like a parent thing to screw up common names and themes. So if you are listening and you've had an experience, you need to tweet at us.
Yes.
What else? Like, what stories of your parents, your grandparents, or I mean yourself or your partner butchering just common names? This happened with my brother-in-law and my sister. You know, they have a shared bank account, they're married, and she made a purchase to Adidas, and for some reason, like, on the account, the AD was like separated from the like the other letters, like on maybe like a separate line, and he was like, what is this purchase from? Adidas. She was like, you mean Adidas? He thought it was like a different language and they were hacked and they needed to close all of their bank accounts.
Oh my God. That's amazing.
Adiados. Oh man. All right. Well, we can transition into, I want to get into Building the Browns episode because it was a good one. Before we do that, guys, you know what else I am so excited about?
What
are you excited about?
I don't know. Tell us.
The Lawnmower 4.0.
It's not the 1.0. Not the 2.0. Not the 3.0. The 4.0.
You know how much we love a good lawnmower? Manscaped has just released the brand new upgraded trimmer moments ago, and we own this and we wanted to share in that excitement. So what makes the Lawnmower 4.0 even better? Well, let me just tell you, it's waterproof, so you can groom yourself in the shower and not have to worry about getting your little hairs or your worms all over the floor. There is wireless charging, which is amazing. It uses electromagnetic induction, which helps battery length lasts longer. It is travel friendly. It still has the skin safe technology with an advanced ceramic blade. And guess what? We are going to offer this to you at our special discount. You can get 20% off and free shipping using the code fansided20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped, because no one wants to end up with pubes in their mouth.
I think, Bree, you also need to clarify that worms are what your children call pubic hairs. Because you said worms and I was like, ooh, that sounds bad if people don't know.
Oh, do you want me to, should I to redo the ad? Like,
no, keep it in.
They're like pinworms that come out of your butt. That's a thing, pinworms.
Yes, my children, after my husband was shaving his beard in the shower, called all the little hairs worms. And they were like going around to clean up the worms off of the floor. So yes, pubes, beard hair, worms.
It's all the same thing. When you're 5 years old.
I think my mother-in-law listens to this. I think my parents definitely listen to this. This is just great. Hi, I hope parents. I make you guys proud.
Hey, you know how my parents react to this all the time. So
oh, you just gotta laugh, you know? All right, ladies, let's get into some Browns chat. So a couple of things going on in the Browns world. First, I have to ask you guys, Sunday night, there was a new episode of Building the Browns. We got some inside looks at what exactly happened during the draft. And Brittany, I want to talk to you because obviously we got your guy. They got your guy. And to me, that was my favorite part of Building the Browns, was not only drafting Greg Newsome, because clearly they were thrilled to get him, but when it got to the JOK pick and him being available and on the board, what was your, like, was it what you expected them to be like in that room?
So the thing that struck me the most about that entire interaction was just how much they seemed to genuinely enjoy one another. All of them.
Yes.
They seemed like they are actual friends, not just people who work together, you know, people that you'd see in the building and wave hi to. No, these guys seem like they really like have a respect, but also a liking for each other, which is so refreshing. And it's important. You want to see these guys all on the same page. You want to see them enjoying each other's company. You want to see them joking around, looking like they're having a good time. And that's what we saw on this episode of Building the Browns. You saw, Andrew Berry with his whole, sup guy, Andrew with the Cleveland Browns, tired of sitting around.
Yes, yes, yes.
And then Britton got on today and roasted him for it, which was incredible.
But she's, you know, our hero. We love her.
We love her more than life itself. But then, you know, when they drafted Jock and just the excitement that you saw on Kevin Stefanski's face, that you saw on Jimmy Haslam's face, and JW and Andrew Berry, he had a little smirk, which, you know, a little smirk for Andrew Berry is kind of a big deal when he does something, I think. But yeah, like, it seems like everyone was super happy with it. I really liked when, after they were done draft, you know, they drafted cornerback, then they drafted linebacker. They finally got Anthony Schwartz and wide receiver, and Kevin Stefanski walked out of his office and he walked past Joe Woods' office and he's like, all right, Joe, just sit in there, Joe. You're done. Like,
yes, yes, yes.
Finally, Joe Woods didn't get someone. By the way, is there anyone in Cleveland happier than Joe Woods right now?
No.
I don't think so.
Absolutely not.
That guy won the lottery.
I think the only person who could potentially be happier than him is probably the Haslams, because
yes,
they were literally like witnessing some, like, the what they've been trying to build towards for years and years and years. They're finally seeing it come together and finally seeing the pieces fall into place and seeing the right personnel and just the culture shift, the attitude change, just everything. So yeah, I would say the only people who are probably happier than Joe Woods are the Haslams.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was also pretty apparent too, and we've talked about this on the show, but you could definitely tell by watching that episode that there is just no egos at all. Like, mm-hmm. if you were an outsider watching that episode, I don't think you would actually know who was the GM versus the head coach versus the strategy officer versus the owners, quite frankly. Like, to me, yeah. I don't think I would have picked up on, well, who's the guy that's actually making the picks? Who's the head coach in this situation? Who's the defensive coach in this? Who's the ownership group? Yeah. I mean, like, they all just were so much on the same page and aligned. It was just refreshing.
Yeah,
there were no surprises.
Excellent point. You are absolutely right about that. They just seemed like you really couldn't tell who was in charge of who. But guess what, guys? That's what happens when there's alignment. That's what happens when everyone's working towards the same goal and on the same page.
Okay, so I have to bring this up. And I know this wasn't specifically on the rundown. We talked about it via text message today. But like it kind of goes maybe with all of this. But obviously, like the talk of the last 2 days has been the Tim Tebow signing as a tight end in Jacksonville with Urban Meyer. Mm-hmm. And I said today, I'm so happy that the Browns are not in the Tim Tebow experiment, because this definitely seems like something the Browns would have signed up for years ago, like not that long ago. I feel like they would have made a decision that was like a flashy decision to drive excitement, like fake excitement. And I just have to say, that was not a football move that happened yesterday.
Although to be fair, I don't think that John Dorsey would even consider Tim Tebow, just because Tim Tebow doesn't. Well, but I don't think that Tim Tebow fits into John Dorsey's vision of what his guys look like.
No, so I wasn't even saying John Dorsey. I was saying like during the Johnny Manziel era, like going back farther than that, of like they want to, like, because we've had regimes that have been around that sign people or draft players for like excitement and to sell tickets, not necessarily to put together a good football team. It was like, let's have people pay money to come watch us because we signed something that is being talked about and is exciting, not necessarily like because it's a good football move.
Wow, you know I can't wait to talk about the Cavs later now that you're saying that.
Now you're speaking my language. Brought that up, actually.
Okay. Well, speaking of paying to see things, I would potentially pay to see, because there have been a few schedule leaks and we know that the Jaguars are going to have a home game in London. I would pay a small amount of money to see Tim Tebow walking around London, just offending people with a terrible British accent and like walking up to random people going, "Good day, governor, mate. Nice day, fish and chips." Because that's something that I would picture Tim Tebow doing.
I was like, money. Wait, what did he? I was like, does he do that?
That's something that, I would picture him doing.
Is that a personality trait?
I mean, have you seen like videos of him talking? He's got the personality of a paper towel.
Guys, yeah. Can I confess something?
Yes, please. Did you have a crush on him?
No, absolutely not. He's too religious for me. No, I actually answer the phone like that sometimes, Meredith. I'll go, "Hello, governor."
Oh, great.
They'll just look at me like, "What the hell's wrong? What did you raise?" "Hello, governor."
That's pretty good.
I just, it's so funny because some accents in London are very difficult to understand, because it's just like, it's a melting pot of people from all over the UK. And this is like a tangent. But like when I was studying abroad there and I had to get to a class like on the other side of the city, I didn't know what line to take. So I went up to someone in the underground and asked for directions. And I swear to God, I could not understand a thing this guy was saying. He was telling me which line that I had to take to get to that side of the town. And the line was Hammersmith and City, but I swear it sounded like he said Hammersmith. I was like, what? Oh, what? Where am I going? I'm going to be late for class. Hermsmith. I'm going to be late for class. Where do I go? And I just said thank you and walked away, because I was so, I'm like, one of my classmates was with me and we're like, we're missing our class. We're never going to make it on time. We don't know where we're going. We're lost. This is ridiculous. But yeah, I would love to see Tim Tebow just like Instagram live himself in London doing
okay,
like completely stupid things.
Tim Tebow would love to see himself too as well.
I've seen people say that, you know, Urban didn't do this as a football move, he did it as a mentorship sort of thing for Trevor Lawrence. What do you guys think about that?
He could have just been hired on the coaching staff.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. Like if that's the case, you're taking away a roster spot for somebody else, for another tight end who's probably a lot better, let's be honest.
Yeah.
And a lot younger.
And if I'm Trevor Lawrence, I don't want to take advice from one of my tight ends who hasn't taken a snap in the NFL for almost a decade.
Yeah.
I think, you know, Urban was like, well, Trevor's religious, Tebow's religious. Like, this makes total sense to me.
Urban just likes hiring His friends. Yes. Yeah. Like, that's why he hired that racist strength coach from Iowa that lasted like 24 hours. Cause I think he realized that he can't get away with that in the NFL. So he was like, oh, oops, I made a mistake. My bad. I had no idea. Yeah, no, you knew, Urban. Shut up.
Well, I think there's a lot to that though, because we've talked about this too on the show before. Like, if you've ever been in a position in your career where leadership changes over and you have different people in charge, they typically do like to bring in people that they're comfortable or familiar with. So, like, not surprising at all that this was a super bizarre, like, because it's a player and that's taking up a potential roster spot. Yes. Mm-hmm. But it's that familiarity. It's almost like, you know, Stefanski signed Andrew Sendejo last year, right? Like, played for the Vikings. Stefanski was familiar with Andrew in the system. I don't think he was obviously supposed to have that big of a role, but nonetheless, he was on the team, I think, to kind of be in the locker room. Now, the difference between that and Tim Tebow and Urban is Tim Tebow hasn't played in the NFL, like Meredith said, like in almost a decade.
Yeah.
So it's just very different because, you know, Andrew Sendejo had a rough season, but at least he was in football shape and had played a snap in the year prior. This whole thing reminds me of, like, have you ever worked at a place where someone less qualified than you gets a better position or higher position than you because they know someone in the company, or it's like the son or the daughter?
Yes. I have never experienced that.
Right. Everyone here has experienced someone that is less qualified getting something or a position being at an advantage just based on who they know and what that relationship is.
I have no idea what that is like.
Yes, it is very frustrating. So for me, I was like, is this really going to help the culture of the locker room? Because I actually could see it being the opposite. And you can miss me with the whole, like, they're going to put packages in place for Tim Tebow and a jump ball and all. I'm sorry.
Well, okay.
No.
I've got a lot of opinions on that. Like, first off, I've already seen reports that there are people within the organization that are not happy with the signing. But secondly, you don't build a system around a tight end. That's not how
you win. It's 34 years old.
That's not how you win football. I don't care if it's George Kittle. You don't build a system around him. You build a system around the quarterback, and then you put the pieces into place that fits that system for the quarterback. Like, they're just the fact that they tried to justify signing Tim Tebow by saying they're going to build packages. Like, they're like, Jags are going 0-16 this year. Are you kidding me?
No, and it seems like that was his priority, was to get this done, which is so weird. Like, in what world is signing Tim Tebow in 2021 a priority?
Also, the tight end, the tight end position, I feel like, is one of the most underrated positions on offense, because I just feel like when you look at the offenses of every single team, it's always like, well, who's our tight end? Who's our tight end? The only teams that don't have that, like the Washington football team has Logan Thomas. The 49ers have George Kittle. What is it? The Chiefs have Travis Kelce. So those players are such high impact players on those teams. Like, how many times was Travis Kelce a threat on the field? Every single time he's on there. Same thing with George Kittle. And I would say Logan Thomas, about 75% of the time that he's on the field, he is a threat. That, like, you don't want to put a 34-year-old who hasn't played in almost a decade in that position. That's where you want to find those guys that are either in the draft or a free agent. And like that tight end, like the tight end position, I feel like is probably one of the most difficult outside of the offensive line to fill. And just like, Tim Tebow is not the answer.
It just made me, I know we spent a lot of time on Tim Tebow. That was not my plan, but like, it just, like, this actually, this is something I was, that this is what I was mad about today. Like, it was the Tim Tebow thing. I literally sat there stewing on my entire drive to the office, thinking about how this situation is truly exactly like someone just coming in, not actually earning a position in a company or in a position, and taking it away from someone else who is probably more deserving of it. So yes, I am mad about this. I found my reason why I'm mad
there
today.
There you go.
We're all mad about something today.
You know what's a shame though? That Urban Meyer and John Dorsey never got to work together.
Oh, is that?
They would have been on the same page. So that would have been alignment.
No, they would. Like, I don't think that would be alignment. I think that John Dorsey would want to have his vision, and Urban would want to have his vision, and it would be the same.
Yeah, but their vision is terrible people. So, like, they would be on the same page by, like, it's just natural.
That's what you need a hard knock. That's what you need a Hard Knocks for.
Do you think Jacksonville will be on Hard Knocks this year? I didn't think they did it on first-time head coaches.
I don't think so either.
But
I don't think they've announced it yet. I'll have to look. And then I think there's also like a way that they're doing it. I think there's like an agreement with the NFL that like every team has to go at least once, and then they like before they start going back and repeating. So I don't know if the Jags have been on it before. I'll have to go look. Like, I think they have like a list. I don't know.
I'm not sure. It's a good question.
The Ravens would be a fun team to see on Hard Knocks.
To close the loop on the Urban thing, because obviously I'm a Buckeye fan and I liked Urban when he was the coach at Ohio State, even though he obviously made some very questionable decisions at the very end, which I was not happy with him at that point. Mm-hmm. But he was obviously a successful college football coach. I don't know if he's going to make it in the NFL. It's going to be really interesting to see if his methods, I'm saying methods in quotation, translate into the NFL. He definitely seems to be more of like a, I don't know. I don't know what the word is. More of like a leader, less of like being in the details and the weeds. And I just don't know if you can swing that in the NFL. And I just feel very, very lucky and fortunate to have guys on our staff and women on our staff that are actually smart while being quality leaders. It's just a really nice balance of football smarts and just smart and also being strong leaders. And I just don't think Urban has all of those qualities.
I just feel like every time a college football coach tries to go to the NFL, I think the biggest culture shock is that they're not really the boss of their players.
Yes.
Because the players are employees. They have a salary. If they are not happy, they can sign elsewhere. If they're free agents, they can get traded. Like, there's a lot more power to the players in the NFL than there is in college. And all I can think about is just like all of the successful college coaches that like spent a brief time in the NFL and then went back to college. Like, Steve Spurrier comes to mind. Nick Saban comes to mind. Is he still with, because he was with Notre Dame. Did he ever leave Notre Dame? I feel like there's like one other coach that I'm missing. And like the name is like on the tip of my tongue and I can't spit it out, that I feel like went to the NFL recently for like a year and then went back to college. I don't know.
Chip Kelly?
Chip Kelly. Yes. I knew it was something Kelly. I was like, I can't remember. But yeah, I don't think he's still in the NFL, but.
No. Chip Kelly's not in the NFL anymore, is he?
No, he's at UCLA.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So I feel like there's always these successful college coaches that try the NFL experiment and realize that it is a completely different beast.
Well, there's no recruiting either.
Yeah.
Right.
Think about it. Urban coached at some of the biggest college football universities that there were. Like,
yeah,
it was easy to get guys to sign with you because you're in a power conference school and in a winning football program with a lot of history. Like, you don't have those tools to build off of in the NFL.
Yeah. Like, you don't have the upper hand as a coach when you're trying to get players to come to you.
Yes.
No. And another thing is Urban Meyer's not used to losing. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be a lot of losing in the NFL. Like, as a rookie coach, in Jacksonville, like, that team's just not very good. I'm sure Trevor Lawrence I believe that he's going to be a good quarterback. And in a way, I kind of feel like Urban's career will go I wouldn't even say as long as Trevor Lawrence will take him. I don't think that's true. I think what's going to happen is about a year and a half to 2.5 years in, I think it's going to wear on Urban, the losing, the mental aspect of it, the fact that maybe some of his strengths in college aren't necessarily strengths in the NFL, all these things are going to wear on him. And then he's going to be like, you know,
I have health problems.
I was going to say something worse. Thank you for stopping me. Like, yeah, my heart hurts. Sorry, guys, I'm out. And then, you know, we see him another a year later coaching, you know, USC or whatever. Like, that's, yeah, that's going to happen.
Yeah. That's like, and I remember when he left Florida, because I had a coworker who was a Florida alum. And much like me, his alma mater was his whole personality. And I like...
You're describing actually a lot of Ohio State. Actually, Ohio, like, a lot of Ohio State fans didn't actually go to Ohio State.
I know. At least he went to Florida. At least I like got my degree from, I went to Virginia Tech and I got my degree there. I graduated. I have a $50,000 piece of paper to prove it. But yeah, he like, when Urban left Florida, he like broke down and cried in the middle of the office. He was so distraught. And then when Urban started coaching at Ohio State, like, I thought he was gonna like burn something to the ground. It was devastating. I was like, I can't judge him, because if Frank Beamer had done the same thing, I probably would have reacted in the same way, but you know, didn't. So it just, it feels very strange that Urban has this pattern of saying, I don't feel well, I'm not gonna do this anymore. Just kidding, I'm gonna go to this other program. Okay, I'm done, I'm retired. Oh, just kidding, I'm gonna go to this other program. Okay, now I'm done. Okay, just kidding, I'm gonna go to the NFL. Like,
well, yeah, and Bucknuts, you know, like, number one, they got mad at me today or yesterday when I said, I don't think his career is gonna last long, you know, much longer than a season or two. They got mad about that. But then they also got mad when he originally like retired from Ohio State, and they're like, Urban Meyer will never coach again. He's done. He'll be a Buckeye forever. Ugh. And I'm like, guys, no, he's going to come back. Like, give him like a year or two. No, he will never coach again. And I'm like, all right, guys. And then he came back and, you know, Bucknuts are like, they got like their feelings hurt or something.
They
and
short circuited.
Yeah. But now they're back to supporting him and saying, you know, oh, he's great and he's going to do great in Jacksonville. I can't keep up with them. They're exhausting. They are the most exhausting fan base in the world.
You're just going to go march around Cleveland in your hashtag Mollis was right. Hashtag Mollis was right. If I don't trip over my own words.
How many times do I have to be right before they start believing me?
I mean, at this point, I feel like you have to give them like the multi-million dollar Powerball numbers for them to start believing you or something. I don't know.
If I had them, I would not give them to the Dales. Okay?
Yeah, right.
Yes.
I was rich off me. I don't think so, buddy.
I was going to ask you, Brittany, I just thought of this randomly today, and this kind of goes along the same thing. Are you prepared to fight off the Dales if Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah ever has a bad game? Because you know it's going to be your fault.
Oh, yeah. Every time Kevin Stefanski, like the first game of the year, I remember they were attacking us because Kevin Stefanski lost. I was like, okay. I'm out there coaching. Thanks. Sure.
It is all your fault. Not only Mollis was right, it's also Mollis's fault.
Yes, listen, exactly.
If
Jeremiah
Owusu-Koramoah doesn't take the field as like the greatest defensive player of all time from the moment he steps on that field, it's going to be my fault. And yeah, I accept that. You know, I'm his mom now, so I will take blame for everything. It's fine. Okay. That's what good moms do.
I was just thinking about that. I was like, oh boy, it's going to be another fun season.
Yes.
Okay. Well, speaking of the season, obviously we know as this episode is being released, the schedule will soon be released shortly after, which we will obviously chat about next week on our show. But we obviously know who the Browns play this year. So we want to just talk through, remind everyone who the Browns' opponents are this season. And I want to ask you guys some questions on who do we think the ideal matchups are. And let's get into that a little bit before we actually know what days the Browns will be playing on. So obviously we're going to have the division game. So we're going to face the Ravens twice, the Steelers twice, and the Bengals twice this year. We've got the Las Vegas Raiders at home, the Denver Broncos at home, Detroit Lions at home, the Bears at home, and the Texans at home. The away game matchups are as follows: the Kansas City Chiefs, the LA Chargers, Green Bay Packers, Minnesota Vikings, Patriots, and the Cardinals. Who do you guys want to face week one?
That's a tough one because the money maker would be the Chiefs, mm-hmm. because, you know, it's an immediate AFC matchup. Like, that would be like if the NFL wanted to make money, that would be the first one. You know what? I kind of want them to open up against the Steelers.
Same.
I really do. Like, I just want to see our new defense manscape over Ben Roethlisberger.
Manscape over. Ugh, Ben Roethlisberger with a manscape.
I mean, it's the lawnmower 4.0. I think they're just going to lawnmower right over that offensive line and put Ben Roethlisberger on his ass. That's what I want to see.
Roethlisberger needs an entire lawnmower for what he has going on.
I feel like it's probably going to be the Steelers. Say the Chiefs, but I think they're going to save the Chiefs for a little bit down the road.
Yeah.
That's what I think will happen.
I don't think the NFL is going to view the Browns as being like there yet. Like they're, I think that the NFL still views the Browns as not being worthy to be scheduled against the Chiefs in the first game of the season.
I don't
like the Chiefs
that,
are the Chiefs are like the NFL's darlings.
Yeah. I mean, sure. But I don't hate that because we remember what happened in 2019 when the Browns had the schedule came out and it was all Monday night, time. Thursday night, 4 o'clock games, Sunday night football. Like it was not the right time for that kind of schedule. So I wouldn't hate it if the schedule comes out and it's a whole bunch of 1 o'clock games. Like I really don't mind.
Same.
You know, and I think what is a little nerve-wracking about the Browns is that the expectations are very high and they're only going to get higher. And that's not a bad thing as far as this organization goes. Like, this is what Browns fans have been craving for 20 years, is a good team. And that's what they've got. But, you know, I just like, I don't want to see the 2019 treatment of the Browns because, you know, one bad game. And like Brittany said, you know, it's going to be all her fault. And it's just going to be like Browns fans are going to just be toxic about it. So I would not be upset if it was a bunch of 1 o'clock games on Sunday.
I wouldn't be upset if for a bunch of 1 o'clock games. It's not going to be a bunch of 1 o'clock games. No, I think they're probably going to have at least 3 or 4 primetime games this season. Because although they're not the darlings of the NFL, you know, they're not Pat Mahomes. Mm-hmm. They're not the Darlings. They're not even Lamar Jackson and the Ravens.
They're not Tom Brady. Like, because no, Tom Brady will always be the darling. Right.
But the NFL is all about the money. And whether they like to admit it or not, the Cleveland Browns do generate a lot of views. They're a popular team. Whether you're interested in that, if that's your number one team, or if you're just interested in, you know, OBJ, Myles Garrett, they have a lot of names on that team. So there's a lot of interest that they generate, more so than most teams, to be honest. And that's not even a biased take. That's just the way it is now, which is amazing. I think I have a little tear in my eye just thinking about that. But yeah, like they're an intriguing. So the NFL sees that and they're like, we probably got to give them some primetime games, and they're going to. So I'm guessing like at least 3 or 4.
I mean, it was a lot more fun last year when the schedule came out and it was all 1 o'clock games. And then towards the end of the year, they started flexing games into primetime positions. Like that's kind of what I want to see happen again this year. I don't want to see them like given all those primetime games out of the gate. Like I would love to see them flexed into them.
I do too.
I always told myself that I didn't care about the NFL schedule because like it really doesn't matter to an extent, the order. Like, I mean, it does a little bit, but then I actually heard some very compelling arguments today from fans as to why the schedule is important. And it's, you know, especially like if you're say like you're Brie, you're a season ticket holder with kids, you want to figure out which games you're going to, which games, you know,
A 1 o'clock,
am I going to have to
versus a 4 o'clock or even like an 8 o'clock game? Like there, that requires way different planning.
Exactly. Like, or should I try to sell my tickets to this game because I know that I have a wedding that weekend and I'm not going to be able to go? When is the bye week? Because I want to, you know, make some travel plans, but I don't want to, you know. So like I actually heard those arguments today and I was like, okay, yeah, no, those are actually really good reasons for wanting to know what the schedule is.
And I think the other thing too is like people do travel to away games. Browns fans do travel really well. So being able to figure out when the away games are and then booking your vacations around those is important too. And, You know, I did hear that Governor DeWine, I think it was in relation to Ohio State football, but talked about full capacity. So that's the other thing that hasn't been finalized at this point in time is, will the Browns Stadium be at capacity? Will people that go to games have to prove vaccination? Or if you're not vaccinated, do you have to take COVID tests like that? That is also something else that's really interesting, because nothing, I have not heard anything, at least from a season ticket standpoint, of what that plan is. Like at this point last year, we knew it was going to be limited capacity. But I'm assuming everything's going to be full go.
No, and which, then you had to also consider how long, which we still don't know how long the vaccinations last or when you have mm-hmm. to get them again, or, you know, there's so many, like, you know, moving parts to this still, which is insane, but hopefully it'll be full capacity.
That's going to be so exciting. Like, imagine like having a home opener. Like, I hope that it's a home opener.
Yes.
First game
against the Steelers.
Against the Steelers.
Oh, like that would be a dream.
That would be it. Yes. Because
here's another reason why I want to see the Browns open against the Steelers. Because I think it was like last year, the Browns had their games with the Bengals almost 3 weeks apart. Like it was a very quick turnaround with the Bengals, and it was towards the end of the season. Like, I don't want to see the Steelers games, both of them being put towards the end of the season, and at that point Ben Roethlisberger isn't playing anymore. Like,
Meredith's already calling it.
I mean, are we gonna see Mason Rudolph around week 10? I would not be surprised.
Yeah, it's possible. I want to beat them at full strength. Give me your full squad. We did it before with a
exactly
like 25th ranked defense or whatever they were.
I know, because then you're going to have those Steelers fans again being like, oh, well, you beat our backups. Okay, well, show up with your starters. Beat the starters. Strength. Well, it doesn't count. Win a game that matters. I'm pretty sure playoff games matter.
Yes. All right. So one last question I want to ask you guys about the schedule is, will this be the year the Browns actually win their first game? The first game of the season.
I hope so.
Because that is the only drought I believe that we are left with.
Listen, if we're playing the Steelers, hell yeah, they'll do it. I am so confident against that team. And maybe it'll come and bite me in the ass. Who knows? But they were the biggest frauds in the league last year. Mm-hmm. And I don't think they've done anything to improve themselves.
Agreed.
No, they
like
really
they've
haven't.
Done nothing to get better. And I'm sorry, like you, whoa, you know, they won 11, was it 11 in a row at one point, 11 or 12? I think it was 11, right?
Yeah, it was 11 in a row. And then they went like 4 out of 5.
Yeah.
Or like lost 4 out of 5.
Also, I like having my own stats boy. We have the That's What B Said stats boy sitting over here. So anytime I'm unsure about something, I just turn to him and ask. He's like, what's his name? Tony Reale, when he was on that show, Pardon the Interruption. And then he'd like throw a paper. Yeah. No, but anyway, back to the Steelers being frauds, my favorite thing to talk about. So yeah, if they play the Steelers in week one, I 100% think that they're going to win. Ravens will be more difficult. And the Chiefs, if they play them in week one, probably not. Bengals, it might be the Bengals. They could be a week one opponent. Probably not, but that's possible.
I doubt it. I don't think that, like, I feel like they would want to get, if they were going to make it a division matchup, it wouldn't be against the Bengals. But also, let's think about it. Like, I feel like out of every year that the Browns have lost their opening game, like, this would be a year that they would be likely to win, because not only is the entire coaching staff the same, like, majority of the offense is the same. Like, yeah, a lot of the defense is newer, but I, like, honestly, I feel like the pieces that Andrew Berry has acquired are just so talented mm-hmm. that, like, I don't think that they're going to be, like, they're obviously not going to be perfect week one, but it's just going to be so much better than what the Browns had last year going into week one. So you have consistency on the offense and talent on the defense. Like, this would be the year that they win their opening game.
This is it. It's our year. All right.
I'm so nervous.
We are going to wrap up the show with the rants. You guys, need to do this. You need to let it all out. I'm gonna go with Meredith first because it ties into the Browns and the fandom, the gatekeeping fandom. Yes. Because the Browns are in, like, as fans, there's this weird dynamic of, like, nobody loves us, but then also the you're not allowed into the fandom if you weren't here and have suffered since this amount of time. And Meredith, as someone who hasn't always lived in Cleveland and or been a Browns fan, I think has some thoughts about this. So Meredith, the floor is yours.
Let me see if I can get my thoughts together on this, because I find it to be the most off base thing I have ever seen. Just because you can't sit here and say as a Clevelander, stop shitting on my city. And then when people start complimenting your city, say, well, this isn't yours. Like, well, okay, well, what do you want then? Like, it's so funny because I always champion for this city because I love it here. I think it is amazing. Like, I think it has all the elements of what it cities have, like Nashville, Austin, Portland. Those are all like quote unquote it cities. They're cities that have grown exponentially because they became the it cities. Cleveland has everything that we need. It's not an it city. I hope that it doesn't, because I don't want my rent to like skyrocket. But the thing is that this place is so cool and everyone is so happy when the Major League Baseball All-Star Game goes off perfectly, when the draft goes off perfectly, and the city gets showcased for what it is, which is a wonderful town with so many amazing things. Like Al Roker was here this week, you know, putting the city on full display on the Today Show. Like there's just so many amazing things. So then for you to start, and when I say you, obviously not you ladies, but for you to start attacking people because they want to get to know the city, or attacking people because they have attached themselves to the Browns. Like, you don't have to suffer to be a fan. And like the one thing that I have only seen here in Cleveland, and it is the most obnoxious thing in the world because quite frankly, nobody cares, but the first thing out of people's mouths are their fan resume. Well, I've been a fan since 1967, and you know, I mowed Bernie Kosar's lawn when I was 11 years old.
Like, people say that
every single time, every caller that we get on our radio station, they call in, I've been a Browns fan since 1990. I've been a, like, who cares if you've been a Browns fan since yesterday or since you were born? Like, there, people have different reasons for wanting to cheer for a football team. Like, this is how you grow your fan base. And I realize the NFL doesn't need necessarily its fan base to grow, because it is, like, when you talk about the major sports in America, and the NFL is king. But I saw this especially with the Capitals growing up in DC. Like, not a lot of people really paid attention to them. Like, they went on a Stanley Cup run in 1998-99. Not like, and I remember paying attention to it and having friends that paid attention to it, but I don't remember seeing a true explosion of fandom until 2006 when Alex Ovechkin was drafted. And then after that, the Caps were making the playoffs every single year. And you would have fans coming out of the woodworks every single year, people who were showing up to games just because it was the trendy thing to do. And a lot of fans, and this is something that happens with every fan base, a lot of people who had, like me, I mean, I didn't do this, but I had friends from like elementary school who were mad at these Johnny Come Lately hockey fans. And I'm like, listen, like, this is how you get the sport to grow. This is how you bring in new fans. Like, if someone wants to start watching hockey, they're not going to attach themselves to a losing team. And it's the same thing with the NFL. Like, if they don't have a team, but they want to have a rooting interest, they're not going to attach themselves to a losing team. That's just not how it works. But just because the Browns are winning now, it doesn't mean they're going to win forever. Like, we see that with the Steelers. They are on, you know, they are on their track to their tanking years. It happens. And the fans that you gained while they were good are still going to be there when they're bad. Like, that's just how fans work. That's how especially Browns fans work. So this idea that, well, you didn't suffer, shut up.
Like, yeah, just, we should welcome in new fans.
Exactly. Like, you get so mad when people have shit on this team and shit on this city for years and years and years. Now, suddenly when they start to, you know, get excited for Odell Beckham Jr. or get excited for the draft picks that Andrew Berry chose. And you say, well, no, you can't do that. Why not? Why can't they? Why are they not allowed to be excited? Like, I know plenty of people who are Giants fans who started following the Browns just because of OBJ. Like, they were not necessarily Giants fans. They were OBJ fans. Yeah. So they're following him.
LSU fans.
Yeah.
LSU fans started.
I mean, same with Baker in Oklahoma.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My best friend in the whole, from college, she is a Tyrod Taylor fan. So when Tyrod was with the Browns, she was a Browns fan. When Tyrod was with the Ravens, she was she doesn't have an NFL team, but she has players that she follows. And that's okay. Like, it's okay. So I think what's going to happen with the Browns, and what you see happening a lot, is when you have the LSU fans, the OBJ fans, the Baker fans, they watch this team because of those one or two players. And when the team starts to win, they're not just Baker fans anymore. They're Browns fans. And you just have to stop being toxic. Just stop. Did I get my point across, or did I ramble too much?
No, you're good. And
I'm just so frustrated.
No, it's all good. And I think we have to close the show with the Cavs and another warranted rant, because the Cavs are still playing basketball somehow. But they also signed 38-year-old Anderson Varejao to a 10-day contract. Brittany, go ahead.
Okay. So let me preface this with actually two things. Number one, you know, it takes a lot for me to get mad at the Cavs.
Like, I was going to ask you, how do you feel about Kobe Altman?
Because there's layers to this. Okay.
Here we go. Let's peel back the onion.
In the onion. Yeah. He's in the onion layer, but he's not the source of the smell. Okay.
Oh boy.
So first of all, there was the article that came out in The Athletic that talked about players not like to share the court with Colin Sexton. Yes. That's where this whole thing started.
Was that the Joe Varden one?
Yes. Yes. Okay. You know, they were leaking things to the media about how, you know, players in the other teams harass them because they know that Colin's not going to give them the ball. And they're mad at him for shooting a lot. They're mad at their best shooter for shooting, which is on a whole other level that I'm not even into. But then, what was it, the same day? Or was it like the day after? It might have been the day after. It was the day after. So then the Cavs, without addressing any of this, they just say, guess what, fans? We're bringing back Anderson Varejao. And I was so mad because it has nothing to do with Anderson Varejao. It has nothing to do with that. I personally did not like Anderson Varejao that much when he played for the Cavs, but it was more because of my love of Drew Gooden that sort of kept me from liking Varejao. But that, even that has nothing to do with this. The reason I was so mad about it is because I hate the fact that the Cleveland Cavaliers are treating fans like they are children and giving them not even a shiny new toy, like an old polished up toy.
I mean,
who hasn't played basketball in like 5 years? And they're like, nostalgia. They are going to destroy themselves by trying to bring back the good old days.
I mean, didn't they do that with Matthew Dellavedova in like 2018?
Yes. So here's, and people are like, well, you know, they were getting mad at me because I was mad. And I was like, you guys aren't getting it. You're not seeing the bigger picture here. They are playing you. They're treating you like you are fools, and you're buying right into it. They have very big problems right now. You know what it reminded me of? It's like the Titanic when the string quartet was there playing while the ship is sinking. That's what Anderson Varejao is right now. He's just something to take the mind, you know, off they're sinking into their own icy grave. And fans, you know, they're cool with that. But this is why the Cavs got into a problem with Kevin Love with that max deal that they got, because they were so bound to keeping 2016 alive. The good old days, they're so tied to that. Yes, that they are now like preventing themselves from getting better. They can't get rid of Kevin Love. He's throwing tantrums. He should by all means be suspended. And then it gets into the issue with Kobe Altman. People want to blame him and say, well, you know, he needs to go. They need to shake up the front office. Let me tell you something. As long as Dan Gilbert and Dan Gilbert's son are there, and they're not going anywhere, you can fire Coby Altman. They'll just bring in another Coby Altman. It doesn't matter. Like, they're not going to bring in guys that are going to tell Dan Gilbert, no, that's not going to happen. So you're just going to get this revolving door of yes men, which, fine. But again, that's not Coby Altman's fault. He has done a very good job evaluating talent, drafting so far. You know, obviously you can't really tell until a few years down the road, but like, for now, Coby Altman's done a pretty good job. You know, Colin Sexton was a good pick. Darius Garland was a good pick. Kevin Porter Jr. was a good pick until he wasn't. And, you know, now he's great for Houston, but there are, you know, problems behind the scenes that I'm not going to get into. But he's that, you know, he got Jared Allen for basically nothing. So there are a lot of good things that Coby Altman has done. So I don't think it's everything comes. And then, oh, wait, before I get into Dan Gilbert, people want to blame Colin Sexton too, which is my number one trigger. Because it's not Colin Sexton's fault that he is Dan Gilbert's favorite. It's just not. You know, the organization has been pushing him and pushing him and pushing him to be the face of the franchise. And he never asked for this. He's a good kid who just wants to mind his business, play a little basketball, like work really hard. And Dan Gilbert really loves him for some reason. Whatever. But I think it's creating this animosity, not only in the locker room, but between, you know, fans, and the whole culture is like crumbling around him. And this kid has nothing to do with it. Like, he's just there to play basketball. So, you know, there's a lot of finger pointing going on, but at the end of the day, it all comes back to the Gilberts. This is 100% all their fault. And I just ask fans that when they put things in front of you like Dellavedova or Anderson Varejao, that you don't get so caught up in nostalgia that you're just like, oh yeah, you know, this is great. Meanwhile, you're on the sinking ship. Just remember that you're on the sinking ship, please.
Well said, honestly. It is like so confusing.
That was a really sad ending though.
It was. The onion was peeled all the way back. Now we're all crying. So thank you for bringing that all to the surface.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah, I don't really have much.
All we do is cry here.
I don't have much to add to this, but like, you're right. It just feels like it was like it all happened at the end of the season too, which is just I don't know. The whole thing was just weird.
And we lost Lindsay Gottlieb. She's going back to college. She's going to coach at USC, which is very sad. Because
they gave her a lot of money, and you know what? She earned every bit of it. Yeah. And she's going to be so happy there. I'm so happy for her.
I know, she didn't need this mess.
She's getting off the sinking ship. This is her life.
She's gone. She's good to go.
She not only got a life raft, she got her own private life raft with like a captain that's rowing it away for her.
Also, and poor JB Bickerstaff, who has to deal with all of this.
Yeah, I love.
He didn't ask for any of this. Him and Colin are the biggest victims here, I think.
I love JB. I hope that he sticks around because I think that he is the coach that could turn this team around. I think he has the talent. He has the knowledge, the skill, the know-how. Like, I am a huge JB Bickerstaff stan, but I worry that he could either lose his job because the seat is a little bit hot, or he could do what Lindsay did and kind of leave on his own accord. And I don't want to see either of those happening. And especially when you were talking about Coby Altman, it just reminded me of like the constant regime changes that the Browns went through. And we just knew that wasn't good for that team. And the Cavs have had a lot of front office turnover. And I think they need to figure out like what's going on in their front office, and they need stability there. Because as we've seen with the Browns, if there is not stability in the front office, you're not going to have stability on the team. Like, it trickles down.
Yeah. Very good point. They are a mess. And unfortunately, like Brittany mentioned, you have young players that are the future of the franchise that are getting caught in all of it. And it stinks.
Yes.
It stinks.
That's the unfortunate. There's going to be casualties people like Colin Sexton, JB Bickerstaff, they have nothing to do with this. And to Coby Altman's credit, he has probably one of the hardest jobs in sports, because imagine trying to do what you want to do as a professional, you know, as a general manager, and you want to take pride in your work and build this team that you want to build. And then also having to please someone like Dan Gilbert mm-hmm. with everything that you do, everything that you want, everything, all of your personal mission, they get, you know, they're lost in the background now. They don't matter. So again, you can blame Kobe all you want, but really, if they fire him, they'll just bring in another Kobe. It yeah. doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yep. Ladies, that wraps us up for this evening. Woo. Quite the show. We will have plenty more to dive into next week with the finalized schedule release. So we'll be looking forward to that. And I'm sure there will be plenty of other things to talk about in the sports world. But we thank you for tuning in tonight. Again, as we remind you, you can find us on Apple iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher. And now, what are we on, Meredith?
Odyssey.
Yay!
The Odyssey app. Yeah. So if you use the Odyssey app or anything, you can find and subscribe to our podcast on that app as well.
Awesome. And then again, like, we love hearing from you. So shoot us a note on Twitter. Let us know what you think of the episode. If you have anything to add to random names your parents make up, we would love to hear from you. Or any thoughts on the Browns schedule, who you want to see in week one, and if we will break the drought of losing the opener. We hope you guys all have a wonderful week, and we will talk to you all next week.